And we have more power whenever people's praying together. Also Sunday, this is our Sunday evening. We have our prayer wheel for our men and women. We have some empty chairs now in our men's prayer wheel. We would like to have as many men as we can Sunday. Most of the time, we won't have an excuse. You don't have to work. Be here on our prayer wheel, men and ladies, on our Sunday evening. And also, there will be a meeting for the TAME kids. That's all the family members that have some TAME kids. It'll be starting back when the school starts, see if we have enough of kids, and we'll need help in that area. And you'll be able to see Miss Dorothy or maybe Miss Cindy or somebody be over at the meeting. Anyone that have kids would be interested. And that's a great outreach we have for our church, these TAME kids, and also our youth. So be able to help us. We need it so very much. Our Sunday school conference will be in Central Baptist Church this year, August the 13th at 8:30 to 12. Sunday school conference. We need all the help that we can get in our Sunday school. We still have a lot of people on our prayer list, a lot of people in the hospital, so be praying for the ones that we have on our prayer list and be praying for those that's going into the hospital for procedures. We just want to thank the Lord for bringing those back home and really being a very special way to them and healing them. So we want to thank you for those he's touched and brought back home, but we still have a lot of people sick, it's not able to be with us. Several of them is in the hospital, so be praying for those that we have on our church family and also our extended church family and the ones that we have in our prayer box. A lot of unspoken requests we have today for people that's sick and different problems that people's having today. So be praying for those people, and we thank you very much. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 through 28, we'll be talking about the telescope of faith. These verses, especially verses 24 through 26, these three verses is the most amazing verses that you'll ever read in your life, containing to your position that you have in Christ Jesus and the choice that you have made and the choosing that you will make in the future for your life and for this afterlife. These three verses, Moses gives us the history of our choice that we need to make and why he made the choice that make him a great man of God, a leader of God, and made him in the great hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. And we know that Moses tells the story about Exodus, how that he was led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how he did this with the power of Almighty God. But Pharaoh did not want to let him go. So we find that Moses, he saw laid down the road in the telescope of life through the faith in the Word of God and how that he must choose some things. And for you today, the key word now is that faith. That key word is that telescope, and that key word that is extreme that Moses did. And understand, the devil would like for you today to take the short look. Let you see what you have now. Let you see the pleasures of this world. Let you see the money of this world, the pleasure of this world, the sin of this world. He wants you to see this now. God says for you to take the long look. Take that telescope of the faith of God's word and look down into the future and abstain. That's what Moses did. He abstained. That word abstain means to figure. It means to calculate. It's a bookkeeping word. And he began to abstain. He began to account. He began to understand that further down the road, I see all these pleasure that I have now. You know that Moses was in line for the second, or even maybe be the king of all the known world of that time, the power of the known world of that time, the riches of the known world of that time. Egypt, he was in second command there. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter by her daughter had took him out of that Nile River and then raised him and taught him the things of Egypt. But then before that, his mother raised him and taught him the things of God. So I want to tell you, this is the story here today about Moses. And not only that, it tells the key verse into every one of our lives today. As that song they said, that God is surely in this place and he's calling you by your name. I tell you, God is going to call every name they are in this building out today, and he's going to lay before you the long distance that you might look and see that Jesus Christ is the way. He's going to give you a message. message today of your heart, every one of us, if you are willing to receive what God has got for you today, that there may be a time that you need to abstain. There may be a time that you need to calculate. In the day that you might need to calculate, that you need to come forth and give your life to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because to see the long road is an eternity road there today, and the narrow road is what He says today, that many be that goes in the wide road, but few goes in that narrow road today. So I want you to understand that as we're talking about these verses of Scripture today, it's to you and it's to me, and it's a great blessing of God just to gaze into His Word and find the power that's on these three verses, because it fits everybody's life in this world today, and especially here today, that God has called you with a holy calling. God has called you by His command. God has called you to be here this day. It's not a happenstance that you are here, but God has willed you to be here today and listening to God's Word. The devil will tell you all kinds of things that he told Moses, but God is telling you now, look down the future, because one of these days your life is going to be over. All these pleasures that people are having today, they're going to have to lay these pleasures down one day. All the money that people might have today and all these fancy things they have today, one of these days God said you're going to lay it down. You're going to give it all up. You're going to leave it for somebody else. All the sports that people are playing today, they don't have time for the things of God. They ain't got time to come to the house of God. They ain't got time for the people of God. They ain't got time for the Word of God. But one of these days, God said, you lay it down. One of these days, you will not have all these sports. You won't have all these privileges. You won't have all these pleasures. You won't have all this prestige. You won't have all these fortune. You won't have all these fame. Because one day, looking down the road, God says, there's a stellacope of time. If you'll understand that God says the riches of Christ is far greater than anything this world can give you. Moses esteemed this. He knew this. He understood this. And if you will choose today, God's laying out the plan for you today. He's showing you the cross of Calvary, what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins, looking down 2,000 years ago to the sitting here at this church right now, to every soul that's laid bare and open today, that He died for that person. He looked down upon you and He knew that you was a lost sinner. He knew that you needed Jesus Christ. There was no way that you could find your way to heaven. There was no way that you could be good enough. There's no way that you could behave good enough to get your place in a place called heaven. But Jesus Christ came down from heaven, God's only Son, lived the perfect life, and He went to that cross willingly. He laid His life down. No man took it for Him. He done it for you today. Your name is called out, as that song goes. It's called out. Many years ago, Moses stood in a position where you stand today, and he made this statement. He made this calculation. He made this figure. And here's what he said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, the Hebrews, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for this life and for a little while. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, figuring the approach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, all the gold of Egypt, for he had respect for the recompense, that's the payment of the rewards. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endures as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we just pray that our eyes may be open for understanding today. Father, I can, Lord, preach the Word of God, but Father, you the only one can impute the Word of God to their hearts. Father, we just pray today that their eyes might be opened as Moses' eyes was open. Father, we just pray that someone here today will abstain. Father, they will figure out, they will calculate the things that they give up in this world is just temporarily upside of things that are going to be eternal with Christ Jesus. Lord, if they just understand this life is going to pass away, it's passing away very quickly. But Father, if you just help them understand, to show them the difference of what you're trying to give them, what you done on Calvary's cross, what you made for mankind, the heaven you prepared for us, upside the little small things we have in this just breath of life we have on this earth, just a stain of life for a little while and it passes away. To see the long distance, Father, that you would give us when all eternity, 1 million years, when we in eternity, we can say it was worth it, it was worth it, it was worth it. Father, we just pray today that someone has never accepted you this day, I'll walk down this aisle today and they will abstain. They will say, my sins are great, but Jesus Christ, you are greater. Lord, my sins are pulled me down, but Father, I know that you can lift me up. Father, my sins, Lord, I'll tell you, I need your help because I cannot make it with my sins. I need to lay my sins on the cross of Calvary. And Father, we pray that there be many here this day. It's already accepted you, but they will abstain from this, from the time that they have this fellowship, Lord, with the people, and they go back out into this world with the pleasure, Father, of this world and not serving you. We pray that they will abstain. They will figure the reproach of Jesus Christ, the riches they have, is greater than the things, Lord, that they give up for the day and their family member this day. Father, we just pray how, God, a mother and a father, Lord, will take it serious that they need Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven, Father, is through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Father, how we pray and thank you today for this great opportunity, for this few minutes on this side of eternity, Father, that you may work your will, Father, here this day in this place called Pleasant Hill. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're already going to do for the far scenes of this service and the many blessings in the name of our Christ and our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. As you know, there have been a lot of fires across our nation. I read a real life story about three firefighters that was fighting a fire out in the west, and they was fighting this fire. And they did not know this, but the fire that they was fighting had circled around and come around them and had them almost circle around. They did not know it, but the airplane that kept flying over, watching the fire and watching the fire, began to see what was happening to these three firefighters. And he said, you know, how can I get them information if they don't go out through this narrow corridor? Is the only way out. They don't know what's happening to them. So he began to drop notes, weighted with some type of weight, and dropping these notes down those firefighters, saying that you must get out of here, you must get out quick, you must follow the way the plane is going. This is from above. You must act, and you must act now, and you must act swiftly. Well, the firefighters, they read that note. They saw the way the plane was going, and they went that direction of the plane, and all three of them were saved. Why? Because they acted on what they heard from above. And they were safe. And I tell you today, we need to do the same thing. We are surrounded by the smoke here in the world that we're living in. And the society is an inferno fire that we have. And the problem that should be surrounding us in this world, and the trouble, the uncertainty and the unstability that we have in our country today is like these three firefighters. We don't know how that we encircle in so many problems and troubles and trials and tribulation in this world. But God says from above, as that plane was, there's only one way to escape. Only one way, and that is the message from above. I want to tell you plainly, I want to tell you directly today, you might be sitting in this pews today, and you might be resting on all type of your laurels, you might be dependent upon your work, your money, your job, your prestige, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't listen to the message above, you're going to perish in this world that we're living in. You must listen to the message of above. There's a lot of voices today that's speaking to you, but you must listen from this message above, and they acted upon this message above as old Moses did. He heard the message of God. Moses looked through the telescope of time and he knew and understands that you and I need to understand today that they are three enemies. And these enemies shows up in the book of Exodus chapter 8 to old Moses about letting them go. These three enemies around us today, they encircle us, and it is one of them is the world today, and that represents Egypt. And then we have the flesh, and that represents the pleasure of sin for a season. And then we have the old devil, and that is represented by Pharaoh himself. These three. But by faith, Moses looked down the telescope, and regardless of all these enemies that circle around him, he heard a message from above. I'm preaching today from a message from above, not what people tell you, not what you think today. The Word of God says, what thinketh the man leadeth to destruction? If think you all right today without Jesus Christ, if you think you got something worked out between you and God, if you you think that you can behave yourself and do good enough to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, the message of above, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you have not accepted what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. And the Word of God says we must accept Him. There's no other way to be saved except by Jesus Christ today. Listen, if you want to breathe the air now of victory, you need to understand what Christ says. In the same book of Hebrews, 11 chapter 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. Well, what does that mean today? You're sitting here today. Do you have faith today? Are you pleasing God today? Is there one person today that's pleasing God sitting in this auditorium today? Are you pleasing God the way you live today? Is your life pleasing to God? Have you done what God has told you to do in this holy book? Do you represent your family in the face of God here at this church? Or are you welcome here at this church today? Do you come because of what you have done or because you know that you need to be here today? Are you representing your family, sir, ma'am? I'm going to tell you today, you need to be at the house of God when God calls you to be at the house of God. Now we see this now about this reputation of God in this very verse of scripture now in verse 6. And we say, well, now it's impossible to please God without faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, I want to bring a person up here on this stage. Yes, and I'll pick out a person. Not really. I'm not going to call nobody up here. But I tell you what, I bring a person up here on this stage. And I tell you, this person, this man here, is a good man. I'm going to tell you what, this man will give you the shirt off his back. I'm going to tell you anything you need, this man will be right there. He is a loving man. He's a comforting man. He'll help you any way that you need to be helped. This man be right there with nobody else. This is a good man. But one thing I'll have to say about this man, you can't believe anything he says. That cuts the taproot of everything I've said about him. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about God. And you say today, is God a loving God? Yes, He's a loving God. I'm going to tell you what, is God a merciful God? Yes, God is a merciful God. Is God an all-knowing God? Yes, God is all-knowing God. I'm going to tell you what, this God that I'm talking about, He gives you everything that you need. This God, we think about this God, what He is, how great He is, but then there's one thing. If you're not going to act on what He says, you're saying you can't believe this God. If you're not going to give your life to God, don't you say He's a good God because you call Him a liar and you cut the taproot of God. God has told you exactly what to do from above. He's told you exactly where you ought to be on Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday school and for your families. This is a message from above. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because what you're saying, you can't believe what He says. You can't believe what He says. By faith, Moses believed it. I'm pressing on the upward way, new height I'm gaining every day. How to be an overcomer. As we see this, a telescope of faith. I'm going to tell you, he refused the riches of all Pharaoh in Egypt. And he made a firm decision. As you know the history of Moses, how that he was born there in the Hebrew huts, and how you know that they had already put out a word the Pharaoh had to kill all the boy kids from 2 years old or under, and how they hid Moses for a while, and they knew they couldn't hide him anymore, and they put him in an ark. They put him in a Nile River, and you know they sent a sister Miriam to watch over him. And then Pharaoh's daughter come down to bathe in the river, saw this little child. And she saw this little child, you reckon by happenstance or wasn't by the providence of God. And she took up this little baby and this sister Miriam says, would you like for me to go get one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse him? Yes, run and get him. She goes get his own mother, Jochebed, fed and took care of him. And she said, if you do this, Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll give you money. So she was paid for raising her own child. She believed God, his character. He was true for what he said. And she believed him. It come to a time that he had to leave her house. And then he says, now, Moses, she says, Moses, remember now who God is. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remember now who God is now, Moses. And you remember who you are. You know what's wrong with the young people today that we are losing even in this congregation because mother and father have not told them who they are and who God is. And old Moses said, you know, when he come to his riches, in verse 24 it says, by faith Moses, when he come to year, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he refused a worldly position. He could have been a king of Egypt, but he refused because he's looking down the telescope and he knew, if I take these positions one day, it's going to fade away. We know that old Joseph was a man who was in second commission of Egypt, but that was not the plan that God had for Moses. It's important to be what God has called you to be. Whatever God has called you to be. I turned down this worldly position, but he also looked and he turned down this worldly pleasures there was. All the pleasures, can you imagine there in verse 25 again, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Was it pleasure? All the money he needed to do, everything that he needed today, but it was just going to be for a time. Listen. All these pleasures. There's pleasure in sin. Don't let nobody tell you they're not pleasure in sin. Sometimes we preach and we teach, you know, that you ought not do this, you know, and that you ought not do that. Listen, you can't tell people that they're not pleasure in sin because they are. You can't tell young people to quit doing this and quit doing that because there's pleasure in sin for a season. Listen, the devil's not going to go fishing without bait. Every kick has its kickback. They know this. But he looked down the telescope of time and he knew the word of God in Psalms. It says 16 and 11, thou wilt show me thy path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand they are pleasure forevermore. Not for a season, but they are pleasures forevermore. I tell you today, he'll give you pleasure forevermore. Moses knew the riches of this world could not stand. This old Rockefeller had to leave all his in. Ecclesiastes says, you know, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Timothy says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, not money, but the root of it. You see, today, if you're in Christ Jesus, I'm happier today when I'm unhappier whenever I was happy, whenever I was happy. He'll make you happy in Jesus. But he refused now for the worldly possessions of this life. In verse 26, the wealth was at Moses' fingertips. The king of Egypt and all the wealth that they had. But the second thing, you know, he had reproach that he received. The reproach he received in verse 26, extending the reproach of Christ greater than riches than the treasure of in Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense of the rewards. I'm going to tell you, he had that recompense. He made a full departure, really, in understanding what it was all about. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Pharaoh now is a picture of the devil that I told you, and he'll try to make you make compromise, not one time, but all times in your life. Moses faces the same thing that you and I face today. As we turn there to that book of Exodus chapter 8, verse 27 is, by faith he forsook Egypt. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil and the compromise that we might make today. But Moses will not compromise on salvation. In chapter 8 of Exodus chapter 25, it tells us, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your gods in this land. You see, don't take them out. You stay in the land of Egypt. Don't go out away from them. Don't make this sacrifice away from Egypt. Today, he's telling us today, go ahead and tack on a little bit of a religion to your life. Just tack on, come once in a while on Sunday morning. Just be a little bit religious. Maybe walk down the aisle and maybe be a church member. But you tack on a little bit of religion to your life today. But don't you get involved and don't you leave Egypt because the world now, don't you get out of this world. You stay as close as you can. You go ahead and make your sacrifices, but don't you leave Egypt. And Egypt is sin today. Stay in this world. But you see, Moses says, no, we will not compromise on our salvation. And we will not compromise on separation. In verse 28 and 29 in Exodus chapter 8, it also says in 27 and 28. And it says, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness. We get out of Egypt. We're getting out of Egypt, and we may sacrifice 3 days, and we must sacrifice unto the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord God's in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far now, entreat me. Don't go very far and separate yourself. Don't you make a fanatic out of yourself. I mean, don't you start coming regular to church, and don't you start tithing like you ought to, and don't get ready to start teaching a class, and don't get involved in the things of God. You just don't go very far. Go ahead and be saved. made, but don't you go very far in this religious thing that he was telling them this day. But you see, the rest of the story that we understand, he had no compromise about salvation and no compromise about separation today. It's the broad line today. He says you just stay there in the suburbs of sin. Stay as close as you can to the worldly things, and don't give up these worldly things, because you say you're already saved now, but don't you give up these worldly things. Only you shall go not very far. Live on the borderlines of sin, if you may, here this day. But don't you involve yourself in the work of Christ. Don't get involved in the things of God. Don't you get involved down there at that church. Somebody will hurt your feelings if you do. Oh, Moses said, I'm not going to compromise on my separation. In Exodus chapter 11 and 7 also said, but against any of thy children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doeth put a difference between Egypt and Israel. 2 Corinthians and New Testament tell us 6 and 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, I receive you. It says for us to be separate, no compromise. Now I'm going to tell you what it says. Most of the time, Christians are lukewarm. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus Christ say about people that's just lukewarm? You know what it says in Revelation chapter 3? He says, you make me sick at my stomach to act like you're a Christian, and you're not hot, you're not cold, I spew out of my mouth. You make me sick at my stomach. Preacher, you're not told like that. That's not me talking. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Get out from amongst him. But he said, I will not compromise on soul winning. I won't compromise on my family. And now Exodus chapter 10 and 10 also tells us, and he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, and as I let you go, and your little ones, look to it for evil of them. I let you go, but you really ought not take your little ones with you, because it's dangerous out there. Don't take your family with you. The devil hates family religion. The devil hates family religion. Leave your family in Egypt. We're losing a generation of people right here in our congregation. We're losing a generation of young people because of mothers and fathers right here in this congregation, much less all over the world. Children are being left behind. Mother and father are sitting home this very morning. This very morning. And they're making all kinds of excuses for sitting home. All kinds of excuses. They're not looking down the road of eternity for that child. And it says they're setting their example for that road. And that road most of the time will lead to hell, because they won't have the means of making the example to turn. Leaving them there and not witnessing to them there. You say you love them. What you need to do is set the example. Mothers and fathers are setting the example for their child to go to hell. They're setting example for this world that they're living in. And they're not setting example as Moses did of turning from this world this day. I'm going to tell you, mothers and fathers, you must give your children and let them weave their garments of decision by the cloth of conviction that you have gave them. That's exactly what Moses did. They will weave their garments of decision when it comes time to make the decision by the very conviction of the cloth that you gave them to weave this day. Now, the stewardship compromise in verse 25 and 26 in Exodus chapter 10. And Moses said, thou must give us also the sacrifice of burnt offerings that we might offer to our Lord. Our cattle also must go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. Moses said, we're going. He said, but don't take your cattle now. See, he's done everything he can. He's tried to get in a compromise on salvation. Moses said, no. He tried to get in a compromise on separation. Moses said, no. He tried to get in a compromise on soul winning and bring his family to the house of God. He said no. He's trying to get him now to compromise now on the stewardship. Other words, if you're going to go, don't take your cattle with you. Don't take your finances with you. What he's trying to tell them, don't take your business into your salvation. Don't take your wealth, don't take your business, and don't take your finances into your salvation. Make it be separate, he says there. Make it be separate. Why did he say this? Because the devil's smart, and he knew what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't carry your finances to church with you. Separate them. Don't give. Moses answered in Exodus chapter 10 and 26 that we won't even leave a hoof behind. We're carrying everything behind. The riches, you know, that he refused, reproach that he received. But I want to tell you the greatest thing is the reward that he expected or respected there. Now look at this. This is the greatest part in just a few minutes, and we're liable to be over with. The reproach he received. In 2 Timothy, we find out here in 2 Timothy and also Philippians. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You see, I can tell you, if anybody's living godly, you're suffering persecution. Philippians says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. What's wrong with Christians today? Nobody don't want to kill us no more. There's no sacrifice anymore. We're not sacrificing today. That's what God said we ought to do. There comes a time, but when this world that you're living in, there will come a time in this year, right today, that people try to kill a Christian and think they're doing God a favor. And I call it Muslims. I call it Muslims. And Hebrews chapter 13, 12 and 13 says, for as Christ Jesus also, that he might sacrifice the people without his own blood, suffer without the gate. Let us go forth therefore into him without the camp, bearing his reproach, rewards. He looks down through the telescope of time. Moses, he said all this. In these three verses, I come back to you. And back in Hebrews chapter 24, 25, and 26, he said, you know what? He abstained. In that verse 26, he abstained the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than a treasure in Egypt. He abstained. Again, now that's a key word. That is a key word. Oh, that's a key word for you today. It means count. It means figure. It means calculate. One hand the treasure of this world, the one hand the treasure of Christ Jesus. One hand the temporary things that you can see today, other things, the internal things that you cannot see. Today, as you look down that scope and you see that Jesus Christ is my source, Jesus Christ is my satisfaction, Jesus Christ is my strength, Jesus Christ is my salvation, then you fill in the blank today. You might fill in this blank. It says in Philippians 1 and 21, every one of us is going to fill in this blank. Paul did. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now you fill in that blank. To me to live is what? What is the most important thing to you in this life? Is it your family? If you say, for me to live is my family, you must say then, to die is lost, because you're going to lose your family. One day you're going to be separated from your family. The best way to put your family first is to put Jesus Christ first. If you say, for me to live is my business, for me to live is my pleasure, for me to live, whatever you put there, anything you put there is not Christ, I'm going to tell you what, you must understand that there's going to be a loss coming to you. He understood the faithful deliverance, he said. As I said, we teach about and we preach about, you need to give up this thing. You need to give up this and give up that. The devil knows there's pleasure in sin for a season. The devil, listen to me, the devil would rather have a convert than a casualty. The devil would rather have a convert than a casualty. Now, a casualty is that old drunk on Skid Road, and young people looks at that man as an alcoholic or a dope head down there on Skid Road, and that don't sell too many people for Jesus, for the devil. But the glamour, buddy, the glamour part of it on these billboards and the movie stars and the martinis and all this other stuff and all this beach stuff that you see, we have these converts. And the devil's got a lot of converts. Now, that's the one he'd rather have. Pleasure and sin for a season. And this says, you know what? He abstained. This word there, abstained. He refused because he chose. He chose because he abstained. Here this morning, it is the meat and bone principle. Here, sitting here today, is the meat and bone principle. You have a bone, and that old mangy dog's got a bone. And you want to take that bone away from that dog with vicious teeth. If you try to take that bone away from that dog is going to attack you. That dog's liable to bite you, because that bone, to that dog, he's got his mind on that bone. And that's an old dry bone, but that's what he's got there, that bone. He's gnawing. That's the best thing he's got in this world right now is that bone. And you ain't about to take that bone from that dog. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get hurt if you try to do this. But now if you throw down a nice, juicy steak beside that dog, and that dog begins to look at that steak, and he begins to look at this bone, and he looks at this steak, and he looks at this bone, you know what he's doing? He's staining. That means he's taking it out, he's calculating. I'm gnawing on an old, dry, hard bone. He starts calculating, he starts figuring it. I see that juicy steak that I can have, the juice that I can eat and meat for my stomach and give me the satisfaction, that nice, juicy steak. You see, he has stains, and then he starts figuring. That's what Moses did, and that's what you're going to do today. You're doing that. You keep that dry bone in your mouth if you want to, but one of these days it's going to come to an end. Moses dropped that dry bone because he has stained. He saw the things of Christ far better than the old dry bones of Egypt. And after a while, you know what that dog does? He drops that bone and he gets that steak, sustaining him for life. You can take that bone, do whatever you want with it. He don't care why, because he's already now interested now in that steak that he's eaten. Now, here's what it comes to. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people today that's got the dry bones in their mouth, and all they can see is pleasure. They don't care about serving Jesus Christ. They got the dry bones in their mouth. You can talk to them about coming to church. I'm going to tell you, you can talk to them about their family going to hell. You can talk to them about going to hell. They don't care. They got that dry bone in their mouth. That dry bones of influence of this world, that dry bone there of the pleasures, that dry bones of sin. That's all they have. They don't see the steak. They don't understand the things of God. They don't care about the things of God. And you're not going to get the things of this world away from them. And you're not going to choose it. And there are people sitting right here and got family members that's got dry bones in their mouth. And they're not going to choose the stakes of this world because they have not exchanged. They have not figured. They have not calculated on the riches of Jesus Christ being more important than a dry bone they got in their mouth right now. And I won't tell you what, we got people, I won't tell you, is connected to this church, and they got dry bones, and there's no way you're going to get the dry bones out of their mouth. You can plead with them, you can beg with them, you can pray with them, but they're not going to get rid of that dry bone. Why? Because they have never saw that rich steak set beside them like Jesus Christ says, what I've done for you. Moses did. He abstained. He figured, he calculated the things of Jesus Christ far better than anything this world. And look where he was at, and this world had to offer. I'm going to tell you, whenever you think about the pleasures of this world, and you think about Jesus Christ, look what Christ Jesus has done for you. He died on the cross for you. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God came down to live in you, and I'm going to tell you what, he has made a place, a plan. I go to heaven and prepare a place for you. He's got heaven prepared for those people. And don't we want to lay down the dry bones of this old world and see what Christ has, Jesus Christ has given us this day? Jesus Christ says, look what I've given you today. Hang on to them dry bones just as long as you can. I'm telling you, don't you come to the house of God. Don't you get saved. Don't you bring your, sir, man, don't you bring your young as on Wednesday night. No siree. You hang on to them dry bones. And I tell you, one day you will drop them dry bones, but it'll be too late for your child. Father, you just keep sitting at home and let that old beard grow out on Sunday, and you stay on that recliner. And I'm going to tell you, mothers, you don't see that you need to bring your kids to the house of God. And grandmothers, you don't warn them. Grandfathers, you don't warn them of what's ahead for them. And let them keep on those old dry bones. And it won't matter how much I preach or anybody else, they're not going to do anything else but hang on them dry bones. If you can get them to see that stake of Jesus, if you get to see them far down the road, the telescope of faith, I'm going to tell you what, they will drop the old dry bones, and they'll pick up these things that they know is going to last for all eternity. Today, you got some dry bones, we're going to ask Brother Orville to come this time for a song of invitation. I'm going to tell you what, this church today, I'm going to tell you what, that before us today, I'm going to tell you, we all ought to be on our hands and knees. I'm going to tell you, they ought to be dry bones dropped all upon this place right here. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to kick these dry bones out of the way before I can get out that door. There's so many dry bones. How about you? What have you toting in your mouth? What have you toting in your mouth? What have you toting in your mouth? Is it going to cause you to do more for Jesus Christ, what you toting in your mouth? Is it going to cause you to want to give more, do more than ever been before? Or are you just going to go out that door with that dry bone in your mouth and never think no more about it till maybe one day I'll do something different? No, it's dry bones. You're not concerned about your family. You're not concerned about the things of God. You're going to go back out with dry bones in your mouth. And you might come next month. You might not. It might be a week after that. It might be whatever. You're not going to get concerned. You're going to stay as close as you can. Keep them dry bones in your mouth. Don't abstain. Don't figure out that one of these days, on down the line, it's going to be permanent. it's going to be the treasure of Christ. See, God give you a choice just like he did Moses. But the reason he did choose, and the reason they choose today, and the reason you're going to choose, is because you're calculating a stain, the difference between a dry bone and the things that Christ Jesus has done for you today. As we stand and sing our offertory hymn, our invitation hymn.
I look around and see just Christ.